the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, welcome everyone to a special edition of Lifetime Income. You know, one of the contentions we have had here on the show, it doesn't matter who occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in 2021, taxes are going to be going up in the next decade. It just came out with the latest budget ceiling bill that the budget deficit will be over $1 trillion this year and over $1 trillion going forward, meaning that sooner or later, somebody is going to be raising taxes, no matter who that occupant is. Well, how can you prepare for that? And what can you do to keep your taxes to a minimum? And that's the discussion of today's program. Joining me on the program is Crystal Kessler. She's an advisor at Financial Sense Wealth Advisors. She recently wrote an article, Why You Need to Open a Roth IRA. Crystal, you know, IRAs have been around a long time, but why don't you cover some of the basics? What is a Roth IRA and what makes it different than, let's say, regular IRAs?
Well, hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show. Basically, a Roth IRA is a tax-deferred account where an individual contributes after-tax money. You can't deduct the contributions on your taxes like you could with a traditional IRA, but when you go to withdraw your funds in retirement, the distributions of the principal and the earnings are all tax-free. And then with a regular IRA, it is pre-tax contributions, so they do grow tax-deferred, but once you do start taking those distributions, it's counted as earned income, so you actually have to pay taxes on that earned income. Also, another disadvantage is when you turn 70 and a half, you're required to take those required minimum distributions, whereas with a Roth IRA, you don't have to take any required minimum distributions.
Now, Crystal, like anything the government does, there's all kinds of rules and regulations when it comes to pension plans, whether it's 401ks or IRA. I wonder if you might talk about the rules that govern contributions. In other words, what makes a person eligible? And, you know, what are the limitations? In other words, if I want a Roth IRA, how much can I contribute? Does it change with age, like a regular IRA? And what are the limitations in terms of my income and ability to do so?
So the great thing about Roths and traditional IRAs is there's no age requirement. So the Pampers diaper baby could open up a Roth and start contributing to it. You just have to have earned income. That's the most important thing. There is a maximum contribution limit of $6,000 per year, but there's also a catch-up contribution if you're over the age of 50. So you can contribute an additional $1,000 to that account. So in total, a max contribution of $7,000 if you're over the age of 50. One thing to make note of is if you do have a traditional and a Roth IRA, if you're going to make your contributions, it's between the two of them. So if you want to contribute a total of the full $6,000, you can only contribute, say, $3,000 to your traditional and $3,000 to your Roth. And then the other big limitation with a Roth is you do have to, there is an income limitation. So with a Roth, if you are single, your adjusted gross income has to be under $122,000. If you're married and you're filing jointly, then your adjusted gross income must be less than $193,000.
And what about the ability for it to be tax-free? Isn't there a time period that you have to leave the money in an IRA, a Roth IRA, that is?
Yes. So there is the five-year rule. And that is once you start and you open up a Roth IRA, you have to wait 5 years before you can officially touch that money. And then same thing with a Roth conversion. There's a five-year rule for that as well. So if you're converting a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, once you make that official first conversion, you have to wait 5 years to touch that money for it to be penalty-free.
Let's talk about tapping a Roth IRA. I know that, for example, regular IRAs, there is an age at which you cannot take money out of an IRA without a penalty. That's 59 and a half. So let's say I am, I don't know, 50. I put money into a Roth IRA. It's in there 5 years. Can I take money out at 55? In other words, 5 years later?
So you can take money out of the Roth. However, if you are under the age of 59 and a half, you do have to wait that five-year rule, but you can take out those contributions that you've made to the Roth IRA tax-free, so and penalty-free. So you just have to make sure that you're only taking those contributions out and not the earnings and the growth. But the good news is with a Roth, when you are taking out those distributions, it's under the FIFO rule, so first in, first out. So automatically, the first contributions that you are taking out, it's going to be contributions first, then earnings and growth. So it'll automatically know that you're only taking out your contributions. You just have to keep track of how much you're contributing to your Roth.
Now, I know on a lot of government pension programs, whether it's a 401k, IRA, or other kind of pension plans, the government does allow you to tap into it for various reasons. I wonder if you might go over the emergency rules for tapping into a Roth.
So first, I do want to go into it with saying that the best thing you can do is to only touch it in an emergency setting. It's best to just let that Roth keep growing, keep contributing, letting the compounding magic take its place. But if need be, there's multiple benefits throughout one's life cycle that if you come into a sticky situation, you can actually tap into that penalty-free and not have to wait until you're 59 and a half. So one reason being college. A lot of people go to college and you can actually withdraw funds for qualified education costs penalty-free. However, taxes at times do apply to the earnings, so you want to make sure you're only taking out those contributions that you've made. Another great opportunity or benefit with a Roth is your first home purchase. So if you left it in there for 5 years, you can take a qualified distribution of up to $10,000 penalty-free and tax-free. And if you're married and your husband or wife is also a first-time home buyer, then they can take out that $10,000 as well if they have had a Roth for 5 years, penalty-free, tax-free. So that would be a total of $20,000 towards that down payment. So it's very helpful. Of course, as we talked about earlier, the emergency situation, if you do have to tap into that, you can take out those contributions penalty and tax-free. And then come retirement, of course, once you're age 59 and a half, you can take out those distributions tax-free, penalty-free. And also one huge thing that I thought was very beneficial was that if you do have a Roth IRA and you are taking those distributions, when it comes to starting to take your Social Security benefits, it's not counted as earned income for your provisional income. So if you are only taking out Roth distributions as income and Social Security, you're sitting very pretty when it comes for the IRS to determine how much in taxes you're going to be paying on those Social Security benefits.
It's hard to believe when I mention this figure. Tax rates got as high as 94% during the Great Depression and World War II. And one of our beliefs here at the firm is that because of budget deficits and the debt now approaching $23 trillion, tax rates are going to be going up. And the other thing about the current tax bill, it sunsets in 2025, but at the same time, we have lost the ability to deduct state taxes, miscellaneous deductions, property tax deductions are limited. So let's talk from a strategy point of view, why individuals, whether you're starting out in life right now, contributing to a pension plan, or let's say you're nearing retirement, in a retirement, why you might want to consider either a Roth or a Roth conversion.
Yeah, so it still shocks me to know that taxes got up to 94%, and we're upset about taxes being at that 37% tax bracket. But should history repeat itself, and when that bill does sunset in 2025 and those tax laws expire, I'm betting that taxes are going to go up. So if you can have a Roth open, a lot of times people believe that when they retire, they're going to be in a lower tax bracket. But what they don't take into account is the fact that most of the individual sources from retirement are taxable. So their pensions are taxable, their IRA withdrawals, their 401k withdrawals, Social Security is taxable. So if you have that Roth IRA set up, it's fantastic because you don't pay taxes on those withdrawals. So setting yourself up to be tax-free in retirement is one of the best things you can do if those tax laws do sunset and they do go up.
Crystal, what are some of the things that an individual needs to know before they set up a Roth? Because like as we've been discussing so far, there's all kinds of rules and regulations and individuals need to know that. So in your mind, before somebody opens up a Roth IRA, what do they need to know?
You have to have earned income and you have to fall below those income limitations. unless you're doing Roth conversions, then there is no income limitation and you don't have to worry about that rule. And the other major aspect to opening up a Roth IRA is knowing that five-year rule and not touching those Roth contributions until that five-year rule has passed. And same thing with the Roth conversions. Each time you do a Roth conversion, if you're doing one a year, each one of those, you have to wait 5 years to touch that money. So that way it is penalty free.
In your article that you wrote on why you should open up a Roth, you have a chart showing the power of tax-free compounding. And for those of you listening to this program, imagine you're starting out in life, you're putting money away in a Roth and it's tax-free. And imagine what you can earn. For example, I know when I'm looking at muni bonds right now, you're lucky to get between 2 and 3%. However, if I have a Roth IRA, I can buy, you know, high dividend paying stocks like Verizon, British Petroleum that offer yields of 5 or 6%. So you could be getting 5 or 6% tax-free income. Talk about the power of tax-free compounding over time, because it gets to be very powerful. And especially for those that would like to remain in lower tax brackets, this is an excellent way to do that.
This is the reason why I love Roth so much. And I want everyone to start saving in this investment vehicle as soon as they can. The sooner you start filling up that retirement bucket, the earlier the effect that compounding has on your savings. So if we took a 20-year-old, for example, and they start contributing $379 each month, assuming a 6% annualized return, on average, the S&P is annualized 9%. So that's a pretty conservative figure. But by the time they're age 65, they'll retire with over $1 million tax-free because it's in a Roth. And to your point about earning the dividends and the higher, if you were to have a tax-free bond or a municipal bond in a Roth or a high dividend yielding stock, if it's in that Roth IRA, you can earn those dividends and let those compound. And over time, those taxable investments just grow and compound. And what it can do to your portfolio and the size that you could have in retirement and being in a Roth, the amount of money by the end could be substantial.
Let's discuss ways to withdraw money outside a Roth. In other words, if I'm retired and I have a regular IRA, let's say I had a 401k, I rolled it over into, let's say, an IRA rollover. The problem, as I see it, Crystal, and this catches a lot of retirees by surprise, at age 70 and a half, you have to take mandatory distributions from a regular IRA. That is not the case with a, let's say, a Roth. And what happens is people are living longer. As we age, those distributions from a Roth get to be higher and higher every year. In other words, they go up, which could put you in a higher tax bracket. Let's talk about some of the disadvantages. Let's say I'm in a high tax bracket. I want to put money into a Roth. I'm not going to get a tax deduction right up front versus, let's say, if I put money into something that's tax deductible. So that's number one. And number two, I want to talk about a way to get around the income limitations of a Roth IRA. And that's if, let's say, you work for a company that has a Roth 401k. Let's discuss the Roth 401k.
Let's take, for example, if you're going to withdraw outside of a Roth, say you roll over your 401k into a traditional IRA and you have a million, let's take the $1 million IRA, for example. Let's say you're retired, you're now in maybe the 22% tax bracket. That $1 million that you have in that traditional IRA, that's $220,000 that you're going to be taxed on. Versus if you have $1 million in a Roth, you're not going to be taxed on any of that. So that's a pretty substantial amount that you're paying in taxes. And one thing that I'd like to make note of is if you are contributing to a Roth IRA, I don't think people really realize it is after-tax money. So you've already been paid. So you have the option to either put those funds into the Roth IRA and save it and let it compound and do its magic, or you can spend it on some shoes or new clothing. But the benefit of putting it and saving it in that retirement bucket over time is only going to help you in the long run. So as far as Roth 401ks, I'm a huge fan of Roth 401ks because there are no income limitations to contribute to a Roth 401k. So anyone can contribute to a Roth 401k. And most companies now do offer that. They didn't offer it in the past. So a lot of people are starting to switch over from contributing to those traditional 401ks into those Roth 401ks. And once you come retirement, you can roll it over into a Roth IRA and it is still tax-free. You take out those distributions tax-free. And when it does go to your heirs, if there is anything left over, your heirs get that money tax-free and they don't have to worry about it. Whereas in a traditional 401k or traditional IRA, when your heirs inherit that money, they are going to still pay taxes on it. And, you know, if you have a child that is a high income earner, that could bump them up to the next tax bracket because they do have to take those distributions. They are required to take those distributions.
Crystal, why don't we talk about some of the estate tax advantages of Roths? You know, obviously there are estate taxes depending on the size of the estate, but when a person passes on a regular IRA to their heirs or children, there are income tax consequences. Let's talk about how that differs for the Roth.
So there are no income taxes that are generated from the distributions from a Roth IRA. The only thing to make note of is if the estate is over $11.4 million and the Roth is included in that, then there can be some tax liabilities there.
I want to talk about something else. A lot of times parents are concerned about building up assets if they have children that are applying for financial aid, trying to get into college. How does the Roth come in when it comes to FAFSA rules in applying for college education or college aid?
So college expenses can be a serious burden on both the students and the parents, but the benefit of a Roth IRA or any retirement account, for that matter, is the fact that it's not a countable asset for FAFSA. So it's not counted in your expected family contribution, which basically means that it is not going to negatively impact your ability to receive financial aid. And also, of course, you can withdraw those funds for qualified education costs penalty-free from a Roth IRA. But again, make sure you're taking out the principal contributions to avoid paying any penalties or taxes. The only thing to make note of, especially with FAFSA, and if you are withdrawing from a Roth IRA, is that when you do withdraw that money for a qualified education expense, if you're dependent on receiving financial aid, then taking those distributions when it comes time to apply for FAFSA, they count it as earned income. So it could affect your eligibility for need-based help the following year. There are some workarounds with it because FAFSA does look at the income that parents have earned or students have earned from 2 years back. So there is ways to get around it and still take those distributions, but it is something to be aware of if you are needing that need-based help from financial aid.
You know, let's talk about strategies for setting up a Roth. In other words, if I'm Larry Lots of Bucks, I'm in a high tax bracket, let's say right now 37% federal, California 13.3, you know, that's 50%. So it may be more advantageous for me to contribute on a pre-tax basis to a 401k. But let's talk about something else. Okay, now I retire. I'm no longer in a high income tax bracket. Let's talk about Roth conversions and how they might fit in well with a retirement plan, especially keeping your taxes down.
The best time to start doing Roth conversions is when you start retirement because your income is very much reduced. So filling up and taking those distributions from a traditional 401k and converting it into a Roth, we can do the fill the bucket approach where it'll take you to maybe the 22% tax bracket or the 24% tax bracket and really start to fund that Roth account. So that way later on in the years, if we do have sunset or taxes do go up, you're going to pay the lower taxes now rather than in the future when you go to start withdrawing that money that you need for retirement.
As we take a look at this tax-free, we talked about how it can really work to your advantage, especially if it compounds over time. We've talked about the advantages of earning a higher tax-free yield through a Roth than what you can in tax-free bonds. Outside the, let's say, disadvantage of not getting any deductions for contributing. Any other disadvantages that you can think of of having a Roth?
I actually honestly can't think of one. I actually had to Google this to see if there were what people were saying about potential downsides of having a Roth IRA. But unless you're opposed to paying taxes to Uncle Sam right now, that would be the only reason. But it would be a bad reason because with, like you said, the government deficit and the debt that we have, taxes are going to be set to go up in the future. And taking advantage of those low tax rates now is only going to help yourself come retirement.
As we close, I wonder if you might share with our listeners, I know you're an advisor, you advise people on Roths and you do retirement plans. Can you give us an example or a case study where a Roth provided the solution for a couple to keep their taxes down?
Yeah, so basically we have kind of two situations. A lot of the clients that we're working with right now, a lot of them can't contribute to a Roth, but they are coming due with retirement. So we're doing a lot of Roth conversions for them, filling that tax-free bucket. But one recent client that I had, he currently asked for some advice because he currently has all of his money in tax-deferred traditional 401ks. He's in the highest tax bracket over the income limitations to contribute to a Roth and has a ways to go till retirement. So he was maxing out that traditional 401k. So I asked him if his company offered a Roth 401k, and he was unsure. So he reached out to his company, and the company's a publicly traded company. So chances were they were going to have a Roth 401k option. And so he found out they do have a Roth 401k option. So he's going to be switching over. So he is going to be having some tax-free money come retirement. And then once he does retire, he can start doing those Roth conversions and not having to worry about those income limitations.
You know, that brings to mind, if you do have a Roth, a 401k plan, a lot of contributions, let's say the employee contributions, and then there's the employer contributions. One combination would be, as in the case you're speaking of, the employee's contributions go to a Roth 401k. So they're not deductible, but they're going to compound tax-free. And then the employer contributions go to a regular Roth and will be taxable. But the important thing is, let's just take a case where every dollar you put in is matched by a dollar of your employer. So if you contribute the maximum, which is $25,000 if you're over age 50, and the employer matches that, you do that over 10, 20, 30 years, you know, it's possible you could have $1 million tax-free Roth IRA or 401k and $1 million regular Roth. So that could be a very powerful combination. Crystal, as we close, if individuals listening to this program would like to talk to you about either a Roth conversion, setting up a Roth, or even a Roth 401k, how could they do so?
Yeah, so they can always call into Financial Sense. The toll-free number is 888-486-3939. You can always ask for me or any of the other financial advisors here, and they will be happy to set you up with a Roth.
All right. Well, listen, Crystal, thanks so much for joining us on the program. All the best, and come back and talk to us again.
Yes, I would love that. Thank you, Jim.
Well, that concludes our show today for a Roth IRA. Definitely look into this, especially whether you just retired or you might want to consider a Roth conversion and avoid those higher taxes that can come with required minimum distributions once you reach age 70 and a half. And also starting a combination, as Crystal mentioned in that case study, where the employee is going to put his contribution in the Roth, the employer contribution will go into a regular 401k. But also, I want to tell you about coming up on the program tomorrow. My guest is going to be Brian MacArthur. We're going to talk about long-term care, which is now becoming a major issue for a lot of retirees, especially with longevity, with people living into their 80s and 90s, and heck, sometimes 100. Their chances are you may run into a long-term care situation. And the biggest risk is with both husband and wife are living, where you may have to maintain two households. That's coming up on tomorrow's program, where Brian MacArthur will be my guest. In the meantime, until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.